All right. We're studying, let me get the right pages. We're studying this morning about transforming truths. The greatest promise about temptation. We're going to talk about temptation this morning. None of us ever have a problem with that. Yes? Pardon? It's lesson five. Lesson five. Okay, lesson number five. And so that should be on page 39 in your book, if you've got your book there. Anyway, and if you don't, I'll try to read these scriptures. And I don't know if we have any extra books. Let's see, I think there's a couple up here. Who doesn't have a book to look at? Anybody need a book? Y'all got one? Yeah, okay. All right. There's a lot of things that can be said about temptation. None of us have ever been tempted, so y'all going to have to try to figure out what that is. But that's part of our lesson today. That's the main lesson for today. And the text verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It'll be in your book if you've got the book. If you don't, it's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And so, temptation is something that every one of us have gone through. I've got an illustration I'm going to use here in a little bit about a temptation that I had, and something that I did, and so forth. And that'll come in when we get around the corner here on this lesson. But the meaning of temptation, there's some things in what I've got down here, and I'll try to tell you what they are. But the meaning of temptation, let's see, I've got the wrong page. Let me get over here on the first page instead of the second page. The overview: temptation comes to every Christian on a daily basis. Sometimes we don't realize it because we're so adjusted to it. But we don't have to yield to the temptation, but it's always out there. It's always out there. So when we face temptations, we have to realize that if we realize what it is, then we can ask the Lord to forgive us and go on. And that'll be in the lesson here today. But sometimes it just doesn't seem to pop up in our view. But we have a promise from the Bible that gives us the victory. And that's the verse we read, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. "No temptation is taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted above we're able." And so we can always, when we're tempted, we can go to God in prayer. Now, there's three common occurrences in our daily lives. And they're walking and eating and communicating. Walking and eating and communicating. Okay, I'm going to stop for just a minute and give you a chance to sit down and relax. And we're talking about temptation this morning. Sure good to see you. And one of our faithful ladies who lives out in the country in the mud. I was going to take her husband to the doctor the other day, and it started pouring down rain, and I knew that we wouldn't get out of there or back, one of the two. But anyway, so maybe he'll have another appointment soon. Anyway, okay, so three common occurrences in our lives, daily lives: walking, eating, and communicating. We don't even think about these things very often because they're so common. It's just part of life. And so 1 Corinthians 10:13 is our verse that we're using today. So if you want to look there, if you can. But these things come in a regular basis. Because they're so common, we don't even think about them on a daily basis. So I want us to see something here on next page, if you have the book there, because when we get to it, we'll be talking about it and studying it and everything. So let me get my book out of the way here, my Bible. Okay, the meaning of temptation. That's point number one, the meaning of temptation. And remember the verse, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God will with that temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So the meaning of temptation is part of what makes this verse a transforming passage to help us understand what temptation really means. We usually think of the word temptation or something that makes us do something that's wrong. And we don't always do things that are right, but we don't always attempt to do things that are wrong either. So the word temptation is broader than just being tempted. This word is translated in different ways. In the Greek, the word for temptation, there again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it is paramos. That's in the Greek. And I'm not a Greek and I can't speak Greek, so I'm just going to tell you what they said in the little book. But to fully understand what this word means, it helps us to understand or to see what other scriptures have to say and so on. So anyway, we want to realize that, and we see a great multitude of people and so on. On page 40 in your book, it talks about Philip, and it said Jesus came to Philip and to tempt him, to question him. And John chapter 6 and verse number 6 and verse number 5 and 6, the meaning of temptation in the Bible. John 6, 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And so it was the time of the Passover. And Jesus looked on the people and asked Philip that question and so on. And then in verse number 6, it says, and this he said to prove him. And so Jesus knew how to feed those people. And he knew that Philip's faith was proven by him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse number 5. I want to go back to the page. I typed it and I got it on the wrong page. But it's talking about an experience, or maybe having a time in our life. It says in verse 5 of chapter 13, 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove ye your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, as we think about this, we have to think about our own lives. Have we ever done anything that we shouldn't have done? Well, I was trying to come up with an illustration, and so I came up with one, and it included me. And I'm going to tell you how it happened. How many of you took tests in school? When you went to school, you had to have a test. And you had to write down the correct answers and so forth. Well, most of our tests are on our level, but we still don't always study for our test. I said I was going to tell you one about me, and that was to happen. I didn't study for the test, and it was a tough one. And so I remember this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess now, and then I'm going to tell you this. But I remember one time when I was taking a test that I didn't study for, and so there was a real smart girl sat just kind of catty corner over from me, and so I was just getting all those answers just right. I was looking on her paper, and I was seeing what she was writing down, and that's what I was writing down. And I thought I was going to have a real good test. And so anyway, but I followed her completely. I mean, I made a good grade. I thought I'd make a real good grade. As I copied her, I didn't realize that the teacher was standing right behind me. And she let me go ahead and do all that. Then she tapped me on the shoulder, called me Tommy. And she said, Tommy said, I saw what you were doing. And I probably was as red as an apple because I didn't cheat, but I did that day. And so all of us have had temptations. And so as she told me this, to stay after school and take the test again, I didn't have anybody's paper to look on. And this was in high school. Might have been junior high. But anyway, so I did make a good grade after that because I remembered some of the things that were on there. But I promised the teacher I wouldn't do that again. And as far as I know, that's the only time I ever got, ever did that. I started to say get caught, but I don't remember. I don't remember looking at anybody else's paper after that because I was embarrassed. And so on. I was really embarrassed. And it didn't happen again that I remember. And so I hope I didn't do it anymore. But if I did, I'm sure that I paid for it. And so after all of that happened, I asked for forgiveness. And I told her I was sorry and everything. And she said, well, that's all right. Said, you're not the first one that's done that. And so anyway, but I might have been the first one she caught. I'm not sure. So we have the meaning of temptation here in number one. Temptation really means that we are tempted to do something. We shouldn't do something we shouldn't do, and that's what I did. But it's translated, as I said, in different ways, paramos and so forth. And we've read that verse in the book of John. And this he said to prove him. Jesus knew how he would feel when he proved him. And he was strengthening Philip's faith so Philip might be able to be what he ought to be. And then the word is translated differently. And so if you got A under there and don't have it in there, it's translated different in different ways. And we read some of those verses. And then B is this word is immoral. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, and I'm just going to read the first verse right now. When the devil was tempting Jesus here, he had given him evil intentions. And it tells us here in verse number 1 through 3 now, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. The devil was in on it, but Jesus Christ was greater than Satan. And so as we think about it, then in Genesis chapter 22, it tells us in the first two verses, and it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. We all remember that when we read the scripture about Abraham and his son and offering. And he was willing to do that. And what the Lord was doing was tempting him to see if he would do what he was supposed to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19, the scripture says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son," talking about Jesus, "of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." You know, as we think about all these things, and we think about what he is, what God is, who God is, and what man is, there's such a difference. And so as we think about it, Abraham was willing to offer up his son. He believed in God that much. How much faith do we have to believe in God that much? Now, God hasn't asked us to give our son, but God gave his only begotten son for us. And as we think about it, God was tempting Abraham because he wanted him to make the right choice. He made the right choice. And that's one of the things that we have to consider as we do things, is to try to make things as best they can be. And then on point number two, in the blank there, it says it's reasons, R-E-A-S-O-N-S, reasons. The reasons for temptation. And as we think about the reasons for temptation, God's heart and Satan's motive for temptations are completely different. Satan wants to tempt us to do something against God, and God wants us not to do temptations. They each have different motivations and intentions. God desires to help and mature us, while Satan wants us to ignore God and doesn't want us at all to do what God would have us do. We need to see that God's motives are in our favor. Satan's motives are against us. Satan wants to pull us away from Christ. Why does he want to do that? It's because he knows that he's a doomed creature. He knows that he is going to end up in hell, regardless, because that's his lot. That's his home for eternity. Satan hates God because of what he'd done and all the things that he had forsaken the Lord about, and he's going to end up in hell. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 12 through 15, "Blessed is the man," this is the reason for temptation, "blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So as we think about all of this, it's a sad day, but temptations are our lot. And so we find in verse number A, to fulfill our flesh, that's in the first blank, or fortify our faith, that's the second blank. To fulfill our flesh and fortify our faith. Boy, try to get all those F's in there and get them said right. Flesh and fortify and faith. Now, the world, the flesh, and the devil is fighting against us to tempt us to not do what God wants us to do. And that's his daily lot. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible said, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God." Remember, the topic is to fulfill our flesh and fortify our faith. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." God is over the devil. He will allow him to tempt us, but he will not allow us to be tempted in that he is able to keep us from temptation. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." We must discern between the attacks of the devil and the tests from the Lord. Now, God tests us. We always need to remember that God allows us to be tested. But He is with us. He will protect us. We can go to Him in prayer. We can talk to Him. We can read the Bible. We can do everything we're supposed to do as a Christian. And God will be with us. And God will, He said in another place, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But in James 1:13, then we come to number B, to cause us to crash or confirm us to Christ. The first line is crash. The second line is Christ. And so Jesus was tempted of the devil, but he failed. The devil failed, not Jesus. Satan also tempted Job. You remember the story of Job. If you've read the book of Job very often, you've understood that Job lost his family. He lost everything he had. He was a wealthy man. He had anything anybody could ever want. And then he lost it all. But you know, Satan tempted him. But Job was not tempted of Satan. Let me say that again. Satan tempted him, but he was not tempted by Job, by Satan. Job served the Lord. He lived for the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing. Listen to Job's own words during his trials when he'd lost it all. Job 23 and verse number 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take," talking about God. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." When God tries him, he's going to come forth as gold. He realized that he was going to be on the winning side. Point number C, to destroy our pride. In that line is pride, P-R-I-D-E, and develop our patience. Destroy our pride and develop our patience. That's what Satan wants to do. We all struggle with pride. It comes in a lot of different ways, but it's a real struggle. It's a real struggle. It's the one of the hardest things to identify in our lives. Somehow we look over it and excuse it. We want to put ourselves on the top rung and we want to let everybody think that we're really something. But because we do, the Lord will sometimes test us to examine us and reveal the sin that's in our hearts. Don't let anybody tell you that because you're saved, you're not a sinner anymore. We're all sinners until the day we go to heaven to be with the Lord. There'll be no sin there. That's going to be a wonderful thing. But David sinned with Bathsheba. Remember that in the Bible? And he had arranged for her husband Uriah to be killed in the battle, and he put him on the front line. Well, it didn't work. It backfired on David. The Lord sent Nathan the prophet and pointed him his accusation. You see, God knows. And sometimes we think we can get by with things that the Lord doesn't allow us to get by with. You see, He did not allow her husband to get on the front line and get killed. He allowed him to take the blame. And so thank the Lord, He did. But David sinned, and it was a terrible thing. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, it says, beginning in verse 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled because of the man, against the man, and he said unto Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. It was an illustration, and he said, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. So, even though David was a man after God's own heart, yet he sinned. We are sinners. We're born sinners. And we need to live for the Lord. In Psalm 51, verse 3, the Bible says, For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. While temptations expose our pride, they can also help us develop patience. We don't have to enjoy waiting while God works in us. We should be thankful that He does. God comes and takes us into His will if we will allow Him to do that. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, we're on page 43 if you have the book, and it says, For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. And then in James chapter, well, let me say a word about that. While temptations expose our pride, they also can help us develop patience. We don't have to wait while God works in us, but we should be thankful that God does work in us and helps us. God gets us out of so many scrapes and so many troubles, but He allows us to get into them if that's what we're about to do. In James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, rather than he be discouraged when you go through the different temptations, thank the Lord for giving you the opportunity for growth. Look at James chapter 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That word perfect means upright. Doesn't mean that we've never sinned. It's just a good word that we can use. And then as we look in the next verse, number 3, the escape from temptation. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13 again tells us, that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it tells us, it doesn't give us the assurance to handle the temptations. He gives us the promise to escape the temptations. We don't have to yield to temptation. There's a song that goes, Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. And thank God He has kept us informed about sin. And of course, we know that Satan is the first one that sinned. And Adam and Eve, and he was judged. And then he came along and told Adam and Eve, God hath said, and He said, God's not going to do anything to you. You know, He's wanting to be the big shot or whatever. Whatever Satan told them in the garden, told them to eat of the tree of the garden that God told them not to. And Adam and Eve sinned, and because Adam and Eve sinned, we're their descendants. So we're born sinners, but we don't have to stay that way. We can be perfect when we go to heaven, if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought it is. And so point number 3 here is the escape from temptation. The escape from temptation. I want to give a illustration here, but a builder uses blueprints to build a building by. And he doesn't leave out the windows and the doors. You couldn't see out and you couldn't get out, or you couldn't get in and you couldn't see when you got in there. But he must make a way to escape in case of an emergency. That's what a good builder does. And so the same thing is with the Lord, giving us a way to escape the onslaughts of the devil. He always will go with us. When we're tried, we will shine forth as gold. Again, remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, as it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And as we think about that, let's think about some of the things that we have down here in the book. A weapon, if you have A, the number three, Roman numeral three, was the escape. Escape is the word in the under the line, on the line. Now on the line here, it's weapon and battle. A weapon during battle. Christians are constantly in a spiritual warfare against sin. We're in a battle. And the battle's the Lord's. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You can take each one of those things that's in there, and it describes America and this world. I tell you, if you've ever been watching the news about the elections and all that sort of thing, you found out that there are so many people in this country that don't stand up righteously. They're wicked people, and they want their way, and so forth and so on. We need to pray for our country and pray that God will give us the right person in the White House so that we can get back on our knees and we can follow the things that God would have us to be. And then if you look here, under B, the first blank is nurse and the second one is surgery. A nurse during surgery. Now, nurses often are unsung heroes. They're unsung heroes. A lot of doctors couldn't survive if it wasn't for the good nurse that hands them the scalpel or tells them what they're doing and so forth, helping them along the way. In the surgery, they explain, help, and comfort and calm the patients while the doctor's working on them if they're not totally out. But thank God for the fact that a nurse is during surgery and so on. Then so we need to not worry about a weapon during the battle and a nurse during surgery, because those things are given to us by the Lord. And then C, a shelter during a storm. A shelter during... There have been some storms here recently. Saw on the email, my wife did, I didn't, in Brother Chastain's house in the Metroplex, shook from the Oklahoma... When the earthquake hit. I couldn't get earthquake in my head. Anyway, but when the earthquake, it got all the way down to Dallas area. And you know, that's kind of scary. I've heard a lot, I read a lot in the papers over the years about things in Oklahoma that are under terrible things because of those things. We never know how long it's going to last or how long we're going to be around. But then we have a shelter during a storm. You'll not face a storm unless you have you'll not get out in a storm unless you don't have a place to go. But the verse here is Ephesians 6:12 again, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's a storm of spiritual things. And then we find here, under verse number D, a friend during crisis. You know, we need to be thankful for good friends. It's good friends are always good to have. And they're always there for us. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, again, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also way to make to a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God is with us. He will never forsake us. He's a friend during a crisis and so forth. A shelter in the time of storm. A friend during a crisis. And then as we conclude, when you go through the temptations, remember, Jesus knows how you feel. And He can relate to your temptations. When we think about it, let me read here Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that's prayer, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Remember, Jesus had to go through everything that we've ever had to go through. And even worse, because He hung on an old rugged cross. The only blessing of that was He was God. And He came down from that cross. And He was the perfect one that was on that cross. And Jesus died for us. Think about that. He died for us. He died so we could live. We live because He died. He died for us. And so what we need to do in conclusion is realize that He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When you go through temptations, remember, Jesus knows how you feel. He knows how you feel. And He can relate to your temptation. So we need to share our temptations with Christ. He'll not forget us, and He will help us. So if we've studied about those things, maybe it'll help us be a little closer to the Lord and so on. But let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that when we're tempted, we're not tempted above that we're able, but You will with the temptation also make a way to escape that we can bear it. And Lord, I pray that You'd just help us as we study these lessons and learn from it. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Bless our services to follow. For Christ's sake, amen. All right.